You know, and ultimately, I think whether parents have agreed with my, you know, formations in soccer or my plays in basketball or that little things, I think they know, you know, me being invested in the community, me being invested in the school, that they know that I'm kid first, and I think that goes a long way. You know, I think coaches that are kid first, you know, tend to deal with issues less than others that are win first.
Welcome to Castle's Corner Podcast, and thank you for joining us. I am your host, Tommy Castle. I'm a sports multimedia journalist and staff writer with the Metro West Daily and Milford Daily News. You can also find my work in the Needham Times and Wellesley Townsman sports sections, and you can also follow me on Twitter at TommyCastle44. This week, I'm joined by a special guest from Medway High School. His name is Jason Roget. Jason, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Jason is the Medway girls soccer coach, as well as the Medway boys basketball coach, and is in the midst of trying to figure out how he'll get his Mustangs soccer team to its third straight Division III state championship appearance. Jason, I bet you're as anxious as I am to get the regular season going, but how is the preseason going so far for you guys?
You know, it's preseason's, to be honest with you, one of the oddest things in high school because it's just so short. You know, I mean, you have such a short time to evaluate, in essence, sometimes a brand new team. So, you know, I love seeing how the girls come in, but yet it's difficult because, you know, you have such a short window to try to figure things out.
It seems like you guys have figured out everything pretty quickly and well the past couple of years for the girls soccer team. I mean, the past two seasons, the Medway girls soccer team has won Division 3 South Sectional titles and won their state semifinal games before facing the same team from Millbury in the state championship game games. Unfortunately for the Mustangs, the last 2 years have ended with a one-goal defeat to Millbury. What's that been like for you, Jason, seeing your team come so close to, you know, tasting and hoisting that state title trophy?
It was bittersweet, you know, because, you know, you know the hard work it takes to get there, and you have to cherish every moment along the way, but at the same time, you want the girls to win their last game, and, you know, you hate seeing them walk off the field disappointed, knowing that they have nothing to be disappointed about. You know, Millbury was a great team, you know, two unbelievable players, you know, well-coached, so, you know, there's really nothing the girls had to hang their heads about, but, you know, at the same time, you see them fight for that long, and like last year, especially to get back to where we were the year before and get a chance to at redemption, and then to just fall a little bit short. A little disappointing, but at the same time, you know, I couldn't be prouder of what, you know, the girls have put in over the last couple of years to, you know, bring this program to the level where people can continue to talk about us as, you know, a potential, you know, state finalist every year, which is, you know, just incredible to say.
Yeah, I know falling just short's got to be disappointing, but like you said, to get you guys in the conversation of one of the best teams in the state, not only Division III, but across the state, it must be a very pleasant feeling and, you know, just overall for the program to put yourself in the upper echelon, it's got to be something you guys are proud to hang your hat on. I know Jason isn't unfamiliar with being in state championship games and winning them as a player, and we'll get back to that right after this quick break.
This is Castle's Corner.
And we're back here on Castle's Corner, and I'm joined by Jason Roget, who is the Medway girls soccer coach and Medway boys basketball coach. Jason, we just talked a little bit about being in state championship games as the Mustangs girls soccer team has made it to two straight, but you are no stranger to a state title contest yourself, as you were on the Medway boys soccer team in the early 90s, and in 1990, you guys won the program's first ever state championship. I know that was a little while ago, but do you remember what that season was like, Jason?
Oh, you know what? It's funny because you'll never forget it, you know. I always tell, you know, the girls and then the boys in basketball that, you know, these are memories you're going to remember for the rest of your life. You know, that you may not remember every little result of every little game, but you always remember your buddies that you're playing with. You always remember your friends that you're playing with. And I was fortunate enough to play on a team with some of my best friends still today. You know, my goalie on the team was my best man in my wedding. I was the best man at his wedding. You know, I still, you know, speak on a daily basis with some of the guys on that team and still, you know, kind of pick their brains and stuff. So, you know, we've been together from when we were 5 years old till, actually 17 of them graduated my junior year. I was always playing up. So it was sort of a culmination of not just the 4 or 5 years of high school, but it was a culmination of, you know, 10, 12 years of us playing together, and to end it on that way was just, and you'll never forget those moments.
And so in 1990, you were a sophomore in high school, is that correct?
The fall of 90, I was a junior.
Okay. So yeah. You were on a team your following year that made it to a state championship game and won it. And then on your 1991 team, you're kind of maybe in a situation where you are now as a coach. I don't know if it fully correlates. Like you said, a lot of people graduated, but that's kind of the thing about high school sports and collegiate sports, that people graduate and move on. But can you correlate that? I mean, I know it's almost 30 years later, not 30, but, you know, 27, 28 years later. Can you, that predicament that you were in as a player, can you correlate that to as a coach?
Absolutely. You know, and it was funny. I often tell my captains about that year, because I feel like I remember that year probably more vividly than the year we won the state finals, because I feel like my senior year, I didn't do what I should have done coming back and being one of the few returning players. You know, we were relying on a lot of young kids. And I feel like when you look back, I didn't do enough as a leader on that team to get the young kids invested in the team. You know, I always tell the seniors, like, yeah, you're invested in a way that the younger kids aren't, because this is your last year, and there's no changing that. You know, but part of being a senior is part of getting those other kids to feel like this is this team's last year, you know, and not have that feeling like, oh, I can, you know, I have next year, I have two more years, and, you know, maybe I'll just not put it all in this year because, you know, I have the future. So I feel like I use that story a lot, because I definitely dropped the ball as a senior captain that year, that I tell these kids, you know, you don't want that. You want these kids to be invested in you and ultimately invested in the team. And you know, every team is gonna win and lose based on every single player on that roster. And every player is going to have an effect on that team, whether positively and negatively. And, you know, I'm always pushing my captains to be positive and to make every kid feel like, you know, their goals are the same.
Well, fortunately for Jason, and unfortunately for a lot of seniors in high school, the road went on for you, so you were, at least that wasn't the last thing you have of memory for soccer. And I know you went on to play collegiate soccer at the University of Rhode Island in your playing days, and then you had some pit stops coaching, I believe, at URI, Dean College, Millis High School, before making your way back to Medway as the girls' soccer coach in 2003, and then the boys' basketball coach in 2006. Jason, what made you come back and coach the girls' team as opposed to maybe the boys' team? I don't really know the situation back then, so can you explain to us what happened and why I went to girls' soccer, not boys?
Yeah, when I started teaching back at Medway, my old coach was still there, Wes Truscott. And I'm, you know, I love Wes, I love the family. You know, his son Stewart's one of my good friends, so it was just natural for me to take on a coaching position with him, and I was coaching with him, and the girls' coach then at the time decided to retire. And he was the only coach. He started the program in 1980. John Prescott, an amazing person. And I sort of, at that time, had a decision to make. You know, do I continue coaching with the boys and continue coaching under Wes? Or do I take an opportunity and apply for this job and sort of create my own program? And I knew, so by the time when I sat down with Wes, and that's how sort of close we were, and I asked him, you know, what do you think? And we both sort of understood and agreed that, you know, if I took over for him, having played for him and having coached with him, it'd be very much more difficult and take a lot longer to sort of establish, you know, my own program and my vision and stuff. So, you know, I decided to take a leap. I'd never coached girls before, but, you know, I jumped right in and, you know, had some success. And from there, you know, I think the boys' job opened up about 4 or 5 years later after Wes retired. And I decided to continue with the girls. You know, I made a commitment to the girls program. I was already coaching boys basketball. I didn't think it would be, you know, the best political thing to be you know, two boys coaches because I never wanted to get involved in, oh, you're playing my kid because he's a soccer player and you're more loyal. So, you know, at that point, you know, I decided to just really focus on creating a program that was going to compete, you know, to try to win a state championship every year.
Well, it seems like that's that goal is being accomplished as you've made two straight state title appearances. As a coach, how do you keep your girls motivated early on this time of year and even throughout the season and maybe not getting too, you know, cocky or confident heading into the season?
I think you, it's a process, you know, and I think that's where you start. You got to remind them that we're starting where we're starting, not where we ended. You know, we can't look at November, which is their last memory. You know, every girl coming back from last year is remembering the last time they stepped on the field. They don't remember what they were like last August and how ugly things were last August. You know, they're only remembering the final product. So, you know, on a daily basis, you got to remind them that, number one, we have a big target on our back now. Like, nobody's going to walk into a game against Medway and not play their best. They know, you know, this is the game, one of the games they schedule, they circle on their calendar. So, you know, the girls are going to assume that it's going to get harder every year. And in fact, we moved up to Division II this year. So now when we go to the South Sectional Finals, we're going to see our old rival Medfield. We're going to see teams like Notre Dame of Hingham, and we're going to see some different teams that, you know, it's going to be a different experience. So I think, you know, you got to remind them every day that enjoy the process, but understand it's a process, and we're not the team that we were. We're a completely different team than we were last year, and last year's over. You know, let's celebrate every new day we have together this year.
Yeah, well said. And also, not only having to deal with moving up division from Division 3 to Division 2 for the postseason and out of league play, but also Jason and the Mustangs will have to replace the Daily News 2016 Female Soccer Player of the Year in Shannon Aviza, as she is now playing soccer at Syracuse University. You also have to replace her younger sister and some other good talent from last year's team. I know that's the case, like we said earlier, in all high school sports, but how do you go about doing that, and is that involve scheme changes based on personnel, or do you stick with the same script every year? What's kind of your recipe for success?
I think you evaluate and do something different every year. I feel like I'm always trying to take a look at what you have, you know, and I love high school because you always have that turnover, you know, and yeah, it's a quick process. It's a difficult process because you have such a short time to really mold a team, but you always have something new. You always have a challenge, you know, and I think, you know, when you take a look at the roster, it's easy to look at and say, oh, how do we replace so-and-so and so-and-so, but you almost have to just erase that, put that out of your mind and say, all right, I can't think about what we had. I just got to think about what we have. You know, and every girl coming back from last year's roster is going to be a little bigger, a little stronger, a little faster, you know, and you manipulate your system based on what you have, not what you want to have, you know. I think too many times people have this system stuck in their head and they try to sort of fit things into their system when, you know, I don't think that's the right thing. I like to choose my system based on what you have. I think that's much more effective.
Yeah, I think that brand new aspect to each season is exciting for a lot of coaches, and that's why high school sports is so great, because it's kind of a new thing each year. And I know we're excited to see how Medway and all of our Daily News coverage teams do this fall. And after this quick break, we'll take we'll talk about a winter sport at Medway that's seen some great success recently as well, with Jason Roget as its coach.
This is Castle's Corner.
And we're back here on Castle's Corner with Jason Roget. Jason, you also coached the boys basketball team at Medway, and last season you guys won a Tri-Valley League championship to the tune of a 16-4 regular season record, and you also won your first playoff game in the tournament over Medfield before bowing out to Groton Dunstable in the Division II Central semifinals. Jason, you guys have made the playoffs, I believe, each the past 3 years in 16-17, 15-16, and 14-15. But I think it was your first playoff win in at least five seasons. I didn't dig back too much, but you could tell me more. But it must have been nice to kind of get that monkey off your back. Not only, I mean, making the playoffs is hard enough, but getting a playoff win against a team you probably knew somewhat about in Medfield.
Yeah, it was nice because we had we moved up to Division II Central 3 years ago now. So this is the third. We went 2 years in a row where we got into the tournament and met Neshoba in Neshoba. You know, and it was funny. Like thinking back a couple of years ago, when our last trip in Division III South, we went to the sectional semis. I think we lost to Martha's Vineyard, and then our first year in Division II, we didn't. I think we missed qualifying by one of the 2 years in 11 years I've been coaching, we actually missed the tournament. But then the 2 years after that, we played Neshoba. And I was thinking, because you don't hear much about Central Mass. So you don't really have a pretty good when, we've been in South the entire time of what they have. And if people look at the alignment and you look at as few teams, I think there's only 13 teams in the entire bracket if they qualify. I think every year we've been in the tournament, there's only been 8 teams. So you're thinking, you're like, oh, that must be easier because the South's got like 22 teams, not realizing that when you go right into the quarterfinals, there's no like opening round game. You're thrown right into the fire, So, it has been a couple of years since we'd won a game because we went right into the quarters. We battled the show for 2 years. Awesome program. They went to the state finals last year. And so it's nice to get that. It's nice to get that win. It's nice to get that first tournament win in Division II.
Right, yeah. And like you said, a lot of times nowadays, if you have 20 teams in a tournament as opposed to 8, you have a couple cupcake games or a little bit easier competition in the first couple rounds to get some wins on your belt. But like you said, in your sectional, there's only 8 teams, so you really don't get a, or sometimes 10 or 12, depending on the year, but you really don't get that easy game. So definitely an interesting dynamic when you move throughout divisions, throughout sectionals. But I know this winter will be an interesting dynamic. Just like the girls' soccer team, Jason will have to replace its best player from last season in Liam Regan, who was a Daily News All-Star for basketball. But unlike having to replace Shannon Avisa, who graduated and went on to college, Roger will have to replace Regan because he transferred to the River School in Weston and reclassified, I believe, as a junior. Mm-hmm. So, Jason, I know this was the case also with Shannon's younger sister, I believe her name is Isabel, not returning to Medway this year for soccer, even though she was eligible for high school, and she went on to play at the academy, or is going to play at the academy. So you have two of your best players, possibly, that could have been this year, have left for other options, and I know a lot of student-athletes are leaving their hometowns to pursue athletics throughout the mm-hmm. state. What's kind of your thought on that process?
It's funny. I talk to a lot of people about this, whether it's the new academy, which, if you want a couple of minutes, I can tell you a little bit more about the ideals of that. Because I think people sometimes have it wrong. I think they think it's, people are going to get seen more by college coaches, when in fact it's sort of the new Olympic development program that used to be, like when I was playing, that's how you get seen in the national coaches. And these girls are actually going to be training with a lot of the national level coaches. So that's sort of the how they're going to get seen. But we always talk about being in the kid business. We coach athletes. I teach high school. I teach students. I don't teach a subject, even though my history is my passion. And soccer and basketball are passions of mine. So, I coach athletes, and I feel like sometimes we can be hypocritical when we get angry at kids for making choices like that, because part of our job, in my opinion, is to help them develop to get to where they want to be athletically. And, if we're pushing them in these directions and they're choosing to, try to hone their skills at a higher level, then we should be supportive of that, And I support Isabel and Liam 100% with their decisions. Liam's one of the youngest kids in his grade. He's going to develop physically in these next 2 years more than he would in just 1 year. I think that's going to be a great springboard for him going off to college. And I think, same thing with Isabel. So, I know some people have issues with the academy. I don't have issues with a kid trying to make a decision to try to better. To me, I kind of see it as, if we're getting a kid to college, like, Shannon Visa goes to Syracuse, Shannon Simmons 2 years ago goes to UConn. I mean, isn't that the same thing? Isabel's just moving on to a different level a little bit faster than, the other kids are. So, I don't think we should take it personally as coaches. If soccer were our full-time coaching job, it'd be a little bit different, but it's not.
Well, it seems like that attitude has served you well, maybe in your tenure at Medway, which is pushing nearly 2 decades now as a teacher and a coach. How do you explain your longevity in a time of a more win now or else kind of culture?
I've been lucky to have talent, you know, thank Medway Youth Soccer, some of the coaches, you know, in that program, thank Medway Youth Basketball. I mean, winning helps, you know. In all my seasons, I think I've missed a tournament once in soccer and twice in basketball. So, you know, getting kids that love the sport, getting kids that constantly work hard at the sport, getting kids that are pushing their game to the next level in both, and having the youth programs that support that, you know, goes a long way, you know. And obviously having an athletic director that, you know, I think is one of the best in the state, let alone just the local area, Rob Pearl, very supportive, you know. And, you know, it's, you know, and ultimately I think whether parents have agreed with my, you know, formations in soccer or my plays in basketball or that little things, I think they know, you know, me being invested in the community, me being invested in the school, that they know that I'm kid first, and I think that goes a long way. You know, I think coaches that are kid first, you know, tend to deal with issues less than others that are win first, you know. So,
well, that makes perfect sense, and I think that explains that we're almost two decades into your stint at Medway, and you grew up in the town, so you know the area well, and it seems like both teams are doing pretty well so far. So, moving away from athletics, as we've stated and Jason mentioned, he's a history teacher at Medway High, now living in Hopedale, but still pretty close. I hear you know your boss pretty well. Can you tell us about your relationship with your boss at Medway High?
It's the best. She's got me at home and here. You know, it's funny when my wife and I, those listening, my wife is my boss. She's the head of the history, English, and world language departments at Medway. It's funny, when we got married, we moved to the area where she lived in down in Rhode Island, Cumberland, and I convinced her to come teach at Medway. So we kind of made a little, you know, deal there, which, you know, God bless her. You know, we got a 5 and a 1 year old. We often refer to her as the coach's widow. You know, from August to March, she's putting in overtime, you know, and obviously with her job, she puts in a lot of hours at the school, and then she comes home and, you know, does all the things that need to get done at home so I can do my second passion, which is coaching, and, you know, I can do it as long as I've had, you know, for as long as the seasons are. I mean, it's a long year, but, you know, it's definitely worth it. But, yeah, no, it's great having her at school. She's, you know, we joke at lunchtime that's our daytime, you know. You know, but it's awesome.
Yeah, well, I wasn't sure if it was the old, you know, you fell in love with the boss kind of thing, but it sounds like you dragged her out here, and then she became your boss, so you guys were already married. So it sounds like you both are off the hook for anything that's going behind the scenes at Medway High. But that's got to be nice that you have daytime with all the other, you know, A block or C block. I don't sure how you work at Medway, but sure, it's nice to get in those moments during the day without the little ones. But I know you have your hands full. Like you said, you have two young kids and you know, two coaching gigs. But when does your regular season start for girls soccer?
We open up the 6th, and we're at Westwood, which is, you know, always a tough place to play. You know, Tim Chan does a great job over there, and yeah, that's going to be a tough opener.
Well, I know we'll be following along all season long as we do, and we have the past couple years, especially with the team making deep tournament runs. Jason, thanks as always for your cooperation and your words. We appreciate your time, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
I also want to thank my producer, Caitlin Kelleher, for all of her help behind the scenes as well. You can subscribe to Castle's Corner Podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you subscribe to podcasts, while also checking in every Wednesday for a new Castle's Corner podcast. Thanks again for joining me here on Castle's Corner. Until next time, I'm Tommy Castle, and thanks for checking in.